Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stevie Anderson Radio Show.
I hope you guys have been doing well. We have a lot to talk about this evening on September 25th. Listeners, friends, and family, I'd like to again welcome you to my new relaunch of my radio show. We've been off the air for quite some time, and I'd like to give special thanks to Dr. Tim Stafford. Dr. Stafford is a wonderful, wonderful person. He got me into the radio show years ago. I learned so much from Dr. Stafford, and I wish and all his family the blessings and best wishes. It's a lot been going on out there that we're going to talk about, and I especially have something I want to talk about that's been on my heart for quite some time. As the show is coming on, too, I heard some music playing. That's actually Shani Mireille Holtz. And that title of that song was called Memory Lane. Shani, you can reach her on Facebook, on the website. Basically, she'd be all over the place. She might be in New York one evening. She might be in Japan. You just never know where she's going to be at. But she's on Facebook, Instagram. You can find her. Her name is Shani Mireille Holtz. And that's S-H-O-N-N-I-E. M-U-R-R-E-L-L. And the topic today I want to get started with, because I know I have a lot to talk about. It's been on my heart for quite some time. The topic tonight is actually about, do you believe HBCU athletes are giving a fair opportunity of being drafted to a professional sport? If so, why? Why not? The reason why this has been on my mind, and I want to talk about it, we're going to get to that in a minute. You know what? I'm almost forgetting. The HBCU, let me tell you guys this first. A lot of guys don't even know what that means, but HBCU was founded in Shanghai, Pennsylvania in 1837, also called the Institute for Colored Youth, the first higher education institution for blacks. So I want to make sure I get that in, because a lot of guys don't even know what that is, what it means, but now you know now. Getting back to the HBCU, I actually attended Grambling State University. While attending Grambling State University, I was blessed to have two brothers actually played at Grambling State University. My mom, number one, don't get from my mom, she's in heaven right now. My mom was an AKA. She played in sorority, AKA, when she was at Grambling. And my aunt, who put her through school, my mom through school, Aunt Willabell, who's 97 years of age. So being in Louisiana where I was born and raised, Grambling's right up the road, 30 minutes. So it was almost like mandatory. That's where I was going. Even though I had offers playing football to go to different colleges, my mom, and I felt like I was going somewhere else, but my mom had it stamped that you're going to Grambling. And I'm like, okay, that's where I'm going. She said I was going there, that's where I was going. At that time, it was just a blessing to even get a scholarship. Even though I had guys in high school with me that was just a really good players that should have actually had a scholarship also, but how things work for sometimes happen for a reason for certain people. But going back into going to Grambling. The reason why this has been on my mind, because the fact is, I think, me personally, I don't think the HBCU colleges / universities are given the same opportunity as someone who's going to Notre Dame, Alabama, UCLA. It's just, I'm sorry, family. I'm sorry, you know, family, if you have your kids at some of these universities, HBCU universities, but they're not given the same opportunity, period. I had some guy, I'm not going to call his name, he was put some comments on there on my Facebook. And on the Facebook, it was actually, he had mentioned about, he was saying about the, not sponsorship, but basically like the ratings, TV, et cetera, where the larger universities, they're out there promoting their athletes, their university or colleges versus the HBCU. We may have one game on television during the year. And when I was playing, it was actually the Bayou Classic. But this is what I've seen. I saw it through my older brother, Anthony. I saw him when he got when he went to Grambling. And you see my brother, and there's some of the athletes that played with my brother at Grambling. These guys were tremendous players. I mean, you could just not – they could – do anything on the football field, from the linebacker position to the lineman, offensive, defensive lineman, receivers, all the skill positions, defensive backs, et cetera, quarterback. They had it all. And you see these guys coming out. You may have one or two guys getting drafted. And I'm watching my brother in training camp at San Diego. He got drafted to San Diego. But even before the draft, going that night during the draft, my brother led in interceptions. I mean, my brother, I think, had like 11 interceptions in 1 year. He led the nation in interceptions. And I'm waiting on the draft. My brother went to the combine and whatnot, had a terrific combine. And I'm waiting that night, the draft, I think it was in 1987. I'm kind of like tonight, kind of hitting all over the place. So I'm not trying to be so specific. That's not me. I like to just be freely talking. People that know me, that's the way I roll. I like to have everything playing out and all in order. I want to be me. And I was respect the same thing from somebody else to be themselves, too. I'm just straight up. Everybody that know me, that's how I am. So I'm going to be hitting around a little bit here and there. But I was saying my brother, 1987, he actually was drafted. Now, my brother had a great 40 time, running 4.5, 40. That's what they say. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But the first day of the draft go by. Now, my brother, he led the nation in interceptions. And the next day go by, he get drafted late round. But there's guys out there that got drafted on the first day that's signing these $500,000 signing bonuses that nowhere near had the same stats that my brother had. And that's just not my brother. These are other guys from the same thing that's going through all the HBCU colleges and universities. Okay, so you see this happening, okay, and you're like, oh, my son, he's going to the league, okay, and everybody's happy and whatnot, okay. So he goes on, and I'm watching. We had the opportunity to go out and watch him in training camp in San Diego. Now, I'm the middle child, so when I was good, I kind of like analyze things. I really watch and pay attention before I react to anything, right? So I'm watching in camp. My brother's making coverages. He's playing very well. But his time on the field, they play him a little bit and they pull him off. And I'm watching him. He's telling us this. I'm young. I'm listening to what he's saying and talking to my parents. And his time is limited. It's going past that. Let's get to me, okay? Besides my brother and his friends that I think in Grambling, my brother got drafted. I think it was three or four players that got drafted in Grambling during that time. It should have been five to seven players. The team my brother played in 1984 and 1987.
I mean, those guys were like giants out there. I'm going to get to my group too. But they were like giants. So gone, time passes. He plays. He gets hurt. My brother got hurt. God bless him. He got hurt and he couldn't play. He actually left from San Diego, went to the Arena team. And this Arena team, where the coach is at, they were going to go to Tampa. My brother had a freak injury, hurt his neck. And that wasn't God's plan for him to keep playing football. So that ended. Time passed. Here comes Stevie. So my brother taught me all he could teach me going into playing football and whatnot. And I heard my time coming. Years later, you know I'm going. Mama always tell, you know, Mama, what Mama says, what you going to do? I'm from the South. So here we go. At Grambling, okay? I get to Grambling. And there's other great players there at Grambling. I get there, my time passes, I play, whatnot. I was at the perfect timing there with Coach Robinson. Coach Robinson was known for having some of the best players for HBCU school at Grambling. He had the cream of the crop, Coach Robinson. Let me get to that point too, and Coach Robinson will follow me. So I actually... Time passed. There was, when my whole 4 years there at Grambling, there was, we had Jake Reed, we had Andrew Glover, we had Fred Jones, Nate Singleton, these guys, tremendous athletes, but it just wasn't those guys, our backup team, second and third string, was great athletes and could have been playing somewhere themselves in the NFL. That's how much talent we had. And after they kind of time went through and I actually ended up, was selected to go to the Hula Bowl out of, I believe I was the only black school player, HBCU player to select it in 1993, go to the Hula Bowl. Now, during that time, we had a strong, strong team that year. And there was time that the coaches were reaching out to play other schools, want to play bigger schools, and we wanted to. We had that much talent, but a lot of the big schools, they refused to play us. Between my brother's years in 87 all the way down to 93, all the way to 93, Grambling was just ridiculously, you know, we had a strong team during that year, strong players. They refused to play us. So what happened was I ended up getting selected to the Hula Bowl my senior year. After all the playing and whatnot, I was playing at Grambling. Now, granted, during my time playing now, there was guys that was making rotation with me that was just could play as well as I could at the game. Some was just as fast. Some had better hands. But that's the talent we had at Forest Grambling / HBCU. Other players in HBCU, the same talent. Now, I get to the Hula Bowl. The only buddy I really knew that was at the Hula Bowl with me at the time in 1993, and this is what's been bothering me, was Willie Rolfe. Willie Rolfe actually played at Louisiana Tech. Willie Rolfe was, man, that dude was no joke. Willie Rolfe kind of remind me of my buddy Herman R.V. who played next to, who Herman actually got drafted to Cleveland Browns. Herman was no joke, but those guys were serious for the position they played at lineman. I think Willie Rolfe played offensive line, I believe, offensive tackle, same as Herman R.V. for me at Grambling. We were there. We got there. We caught the flight to Hawaii. We got there. I got off the plane. They had everything set up for us at the Hula Bowl. I was actually blessed and honored to go with my coach, Eddie Robinson, the legendary, real deal Eddie Robinson, who was more than a coach, but everyone knows, my buddies know, he was, Coach Robinson was a father to us also, a highly, very respected man.
we got there, and the next day we had practice. Had a little short meeting, and they let us go out, and we got to practice. So we ended up going to the stadium, and they had a certain itineraries. But we got there to the stadium and got to practice. I believe we practiced. I believe it was there 4 or 5 days, 6 nights, something in that arena. It was in that 5 days, I mean 6 days, 7 nights, or seven, whatever it was. We was there for a week. Okay, so we were at practice, and I'm not going to call the coaches' names out. I was representing the East, and they had the West. And during my areas, you kind of like split, like say if you split Chicago all the way down the map, Texas, not even to Texas, actually to Louisiana, that East of players. And then you had 50 players from that side, then you the other side was the West from Texas to California. So made some tremendous friends out there. So we actually in practice, guys from Miami, the Hurricanes, so guys from Alabama. We're in practice, and the coaches that was there, there was two other coaches besides Coach Robinson. All of a sudden, everyone's getting plays drawn up, at the meeting the day before the practice. I went to the practice first, just running routes, and I was with the quarterback from Notre Dame. Can't think of his name right now. Sorry about that. Sometimes it's hard for me to think of certain things. Sorry about that. I can't think of it right now. But we were there and practicing every now and whatnot. I'm getting passes. I'm catching passes. Other guys catching passes. So they kind of like filling the players out. The very next day, we ended up going to the meeting. And all of a sudden, these coaches are drawing out plays. As the plays are being drawn out, now granted, I'm the only black school player in Hawaii with all these other athletes, that's all across the United States, college players. And there was different, they had different, of course, different, I would say, different players go to different combines. It's like a little mini combine for players that's coming out, potentially getting drafted. I'm the only basketball player there that I, at that time that I can remember. So I'm looking at the plays. Finally, all other receivers are getting certain plays. Here I go with one play. These other guys are getting plays. They're getting like 5, 6, 7 plays. I get one play, one attempt. So, you know, I was raised to just kind of keep your mouth closed at times, but I'm like my mom. I just don't keep my mouth closed. I'm straight up. If something's wrong, I'm going to tell you. If something's right, I'm going to tell you. I'm not for one certain side. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. That's just me. Again, my buddies know I am. That's me. So we actually practice, and I'm looking at Coach Robinson, and he's looking at me. And we kind of just keep quiet and go on. And I sat down and talked to Coach Robinson. Later that evening, we're sitting down out by the in the back of the hotel. We're sitting down, and I don't know if you guys have been to Hawaii, but if you get the chance to go to Hawaii, I still think about the pineapple. The food was just totally amazing. I mean, if I could walk to Hawaii right now, I would for the pineapple. But I can still think about that pineapple since 1993. That's a long time. But we were actually sitting down talking. And he was just telling me about life and whatnot. And everyone knows about Coach Robinson that went to Grambling. You just don't have the time to sit down and talk to Coach Robinson. Coach Robinson is the president. That was the president. So everything Coach Robinson said, it was yes, sir, no, sir. Everything he said was wrong, yes, sir, no, sir. That's how it was with Coach Robinson. And we were just sitting down talking about life and whatnot. And the next day of practice, like he didn't really want to bring anything up, but just, he's telling me just to keep, stay focused, run your roster real hard, and just, you know, while you're here in Hawaii, just stay out of trouble and whatnot. And I think that the only thing I did in Hawaii was actually looked around, walked down to the mall. I remember I was walking with, I think it was Lamar, one of the guys that played at in Tampa Bay, who played at Miami Hurricanes, who was down walking around. That was about it. Didn't do too much, just practice real hard and stay in the room. Didn't want to make no mistakes. Wanted to represent my school, the way Coach Robertson and all my other athletes, my players, and with the grambling that we did. So the next day, we're out there in practice, and one of the coaches, we're out there running the plays, and I get my little one play. I think it was like a little drag out route, smash route, they call it now. And all of time, it was to benefit other players besides Grambling player, the small school player. Right then, now, I'm seeing, I know what's going on, because years before, I can see my brother went through, my older brother. I see it, and I'm understanding, like, okay. Just keeping quiet, just doing my position, you know. And all of a sudden, I see this particular coach talking to Coach Robinson, my coach. Go get this. Go do that. What are you doing? Why are you not paying attention over here? The last time I thought the players were the ones supposed to be doing the work, doing the routes, doing this, doing that. I've kept this quiet since 1993. Only a few people know about this, and it was so disrespectful that there was other coaches or other players that was looking at me, and we were talking about it after practice. Now, we're like super humble because of the fact is we're trying to get to the league. So, but we were talking about it. Even so crazy and disrespectful the way one coach was talking to Coach Robinson and looking, and, you know, myself coming out of college, I'm not going to say anything. You can slap me side of the head 1,000 times. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to just do what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're taught. Being disciplined as much as you can. But it was so bad that when I got to, later I got drafted to, and I'm going to get to the point, I got drafted to the Cardinals in 19, the same year I got drafted. One of the players came to me that was drafted with me, that was at Hula Bowl. Like I said, I'm not going to give any names out. I don't want to do that. But he even talked about it then. Still remembered it, how disrespectful they treated my coach. Now, I would fight anybody for my coach, especially we're together. That's just the way Louisiana boys ride, and that's the way Grambling players ride. If you with a Grambling player, we're going to stand up for each other, only if it's right. But that's just the way you grow. It's totally, totally disrespectful, and I ended up getting drafted, but that always that stuck into my brain for a long time, and ended up getting one play that whole entire time there. Two plays, I believe I had. One attempt was thrown to me, one pass was thrown to me the whole entire game. Well, all the other players were getting attempts, but I kind of like looking at them like didn't want to believe what was going on. We ended up leaving Hawaii, coming back, getting drafted. I got to the combine. And I'm saying this to me because the fact is the same thing I'm saying, it happens to so many HBCU players. That's why I'm using me as an example, myself. I get to the combine, I lead the combine. My last name Anderson, I lead the combine. I'm running routes, and it goes to the 40 time, running good routes, getting some good catches and whatnot. By the time I got to the combine, thank God my brother, I knew what they expect at the combine. So it was pretty much a breeze to me at the combine. We got to the 40 time, which is very, very important. I get down, and my buddies know I could run pretty fast. I was pretty fast. When I took off to run the 40, when I broke out, it was 40 yards. When I took off, they put a little 10, a meter, they tag it to your shorts. So when you get 20 yards, it pulls off.
When I jumped out the 40, was running. By the time I looked up, I was almost finished the 40. They blew the whistle and called me back. And I started laughing, like midway to 40, I was laughing. When I started, I mean, I was always finished the 40 just that fast. I knew then what was going on. They didn't want, for some reason, my time was going to be too fast. Well, I ended up running 4.4s, a couple of 4.4s and 4.5s, ended up with a 4.52. There was other players there that I don't call their name that I knew that was from my same area, not the same school, that I knew I was much faster than what they were, but they had better times. And as always, too, this is the second thing, why is it that when you go to the combine, any black school player that gets to the combine, why is it that we always have 4.5 40s? Okay, you can count on a hand how many guys that came from a HBCU that had low times. Linnaeus Williams had a 4.3, all I know of. I don't believe in my group, but maybe I think Fred Jones maybe had a low time, maybe Jake, but that's, but all the other guys, these guys, they run at 4.3s, they're really running 4.2s. But overall, if you filtered out of all the HBCU colleges, universities, they have the same 4.5 time. And for your listeners, what that means is your money, your draft money. I'm running 4.3s. I'm running the time I'm supposed to be given. That makes a difference. 4.4 is a difference between 300, 400, 500,000. Some reason. All the HBCU players, we're going to put, they run in 4.5s and 4.6s, 4.6 40s. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. And this has been going on for years. Now, is it a conspiracy going on between the HBCU universities? Something that some coaches that's getting paid right now that don't want to talk about because they fear of their job. They don't want to talk about it. They're getting their money and their families understand that. And for the coaches, HBCU is what's the highest paid coach, probably average coach in black college football, around 150 grand. Some of them getting two. But with the other schools, these guys are getting $1 million a year. Some getting $5 million a year. Some guys make them out like that, never even touch the football field. Some coaches. $2 million a year. But you don't want to pay the players. You want to pay the college players, right? But you're giving coaches $2 million a year. The coach? But the players over there having to eat Roman noodles during the week and trying and they families back at home suffering? Yeah, they got a scholarship. But you're going to pay a coach. I'm going to get back on scene. I'm getting off. But still, but if you're going to pay a coach that much money, you need to pay the players. But you give it to HBCU coaches. Like I said, they're not going to talk about it because I understand they have their family and they keep their jobs, they keep their mouth closed. More or less, someone else have to have them by the tail. So they can't say too much and go too far. $150,000, $100,000, $90,000, $200,000. But the larger universities, the coaches are getting paid $800,000, $300,000, $1 million, $5 million a year, the coach. It's conspiracy. I know a lot of you guys right now probably like, players that know what I'm talking about. It's the truth. You think about it, it's the truth. Now, I ended up getting drafted to the Cardinals. I got drafted to the Cardinals. I ended up at the Jets the same year. Well, I go to training camp. I get to training camp. My rookie, I see another receiver there with me. I'm bigger, stronger, faster, particular guy. I was only drafted, but there's other receivers that weren't drafted getting more time than Stevie. Okay? They're getting more reps. I'm sitting behind the sideline. It got to the point that other players that was there already. Now, the players that were there was good now. They were cold-blooded. They were cold. There were some good players there when I got drafted to the Cardinals. But the players that were there with me as rookies, they wouldn't even play. I mean, if there's some guys out there, I'm not even going to call no names, but there's some guys out there when they played on Grambling's third-string team. This was going on. Now, my reps, if something happened in practice, guess who gets the blame for it? HBCU player. Air receivers, something wrong? HBCU players. Less attempts, sitting on the sideline. Basically, it's like, you know what should happen? We're going to make your 40 time average. And what we're going to do after that, we're going to put you back. We're going to set you back for 3 years. And for 3 years, if you can wait, maybe we'll give you a decent contract. Oh, that's another thing, too. The HBCU players, you never hear from them until after 3 years. After 3 years, they start letting them rise up. Now, they were there ready to go on the first, let them rise up. I had my brother led the nation in interceptions. My younger brother, junior year, scoring 15 touchdowns. Senior year, 13. I watched him one-on-one at the Senior Bowl, my younger brother. I watched him blow, just destroy the one-on-one competition. My brother loved Grambling so much, he put both his G's head in the front of his helmet, representing his school. I believe even asked him why he put his stickers on his helmet like that. Now, when you go to certain, you get to play certain bowl games, everybody, you know, they hand out stickers and you wear different stickers. It's a thing just a camaraderie around the players. That's how it was. My brother broke so many records. I still think my younger brother actually is fourth and behind Jerry Rice at Grambling. A lot of stats and still kind of all different directions, but they stopped one-on-one because he was just destroying them, all of the players that's going first round. Now, my brother actually wasn't going first round, but something happened there. I'm going to say this too. Four coaches at the HBCU, they need to do more promoting, putting out our players at these small universities. Open your mouth. Quit being passive. Stand up for your players. Try to get these players out there to play larger schools to be seen. And some coaches do that. Thank God we have a coach right now that's doing a good job at Grambling. They're doing that. Coach Robinson was the best of that. Coach Robinson gave the guys a chance, even if they didn't play as much his senior day. He treated their senior day like it was their birthday. Shine. Your chance to shine. Well, that was some coaches that came through. I don't know what was going on with none of their minds. But it's I believe, and I put in my heart, it's a conspiracy. That's what's going on. It's a problem. It needs to be acknowledged. It's happening. And we have to bring awareness to it. For you family that have your kids at the HBCU college/universities, if you're Even just besides the athletes, you look at some of the students coming out as an education, male or female students. That's in, it could be music, it could be science, nursing. They're dealing with the same situation that the athletes are going through from the HBCU. They know it. They've been going through it a long time, too. They're not given the same opportunity, the same pay scale.
as someone that's going from Yale, UCLA, Notre Dame. Now, granted, not Stanford. I have buddies and friends from these colleges now. Now, don't get it twisted that I'm mad at them. I'm just saying what's going on with the HBCU universities, college universities. I'm just making awareness that if you're going to judge someone on their talent, whether they're coming out of education, they're coming out as a teacher, coming out as a nurse, out of Bramlett or HBCU, treat them the same and look at them, analyze what they, the talents they have, analyze the same as someone's come out of Yale. That's only fair. Football, Stanford, Grambling. I don't care if you come from, what's the name of that thing, Borney, which would be on TV all the time. I don't care if you come from Borney University of Rabbit Industry. I don't care where you're coming from. If he can play, give him the opportunity to do so. Again, back to your families. Students, if you're listening, families of students that's at the HBCU. I'm telling you this because I know I had two brothers that got drafted in the NFL and played. Okay, I have friends that got drafted and played. Okay, I have friends that I played against that didn't go to HBCU, but I'm seeing what's been done over the years. Now, this is not the last time you're going to hear me talking about this either. Okay? What happened to my coach in 1993 at the Hula Bowl when I was there? It's been on my mind ever since 1993. And that's why when I played, I worked hard when I was playing, because I want to represent the school I came from. Everybody went to Grandma Noah about fives and $1.50 for a piece of, I think we had, I think it was a thigh and a drumstick, a piece of light bread. Everybody know about those days. And that's the difference, and that's, I would say, the reward I got from going from HBCU. Because the fact is, it's a family. I never did forget about the guys I played with. I never did forget about them. I just had to go on my journey and while I was pursuing, but I got hurt. But don't think I wasn't trying to do the same thing my younger brother's trying to do, represent my school or my older brother. Because it's hard. And it's not just my brothers. All my other players that went to Grambling and these HBCU, they did the same thing for their universities. But they'll come penalizing us because of the fact that we're from a small school or black or historical black college universities. Don't penalize us for that. But it's far too long that it's been going on. And it is conspiracy. Again, that I didn't get to. Your families, how do you fix this? How do you resolve this? How do you solve this? If your kid is studying 2 hours a day to be a nurse out of an HBCU, scientist or teacher, they stand 2 hours extra a day, you better tell them to study 5 hours extra a day. If that kid is out there as an athlete, is working out after practice an hour, you better tell him he better work 3 hours after practice. Okay? Not one, 3 hours. Basically, so when the lights turn on, the light can be on, that can mean an interview, whatever. You're ready to rock and roll, and you know what you're talking about. And if you don't know, and parents, if your kids don't know, do not hold them back from going somewhere, reaching out to someone that's in a been to a profession to learn, to know what they expect. That's a blessing I got from my older brother when I got to the combine. So as my younger brother came through, he was uncoachable. Because the coach can tell me anything. He can tell you. He knew what to do. You need to do that with your kids and tell them just to be humble. These are the things that you have to do when you're coming out of HBCU. This is what it's about. And this is how you get to the next level instead of succeed. And while I'm talking, here on the radio. I'm down by the studio. You may have a training coming through at this time. This guy comes through this train like he's crazy sometimes. But you go, for your listeners, the call-in number is 657-383-1972. If you want to call in, that's 657-383-1972. That's the call-in number. The HBCU was wonderful for me. The experience, I've had players that I played ball again with in the NFL. I've had people that I've met that didn't play professional sports that's working professional jobs out in the industry. That come up to me and ask questions about the HBCU, how was it? And some of them actually wish they would have attended an HBCU. And that's why I said that we have to, as the HBCU alumni, as you can say, guys, as we've been there, attended these schools, that we have to bring awareness for this. And I'm on board of bringing awareness because this has been going on just way too long. I don't care what field you're in, coming from HBCU, we have to be recognized for the job that we do well, period. And most important, being humble. Being humble. Give me a second, this train has come back through. This guy, he's on another page. But this whole story about me talking about our HBCU athletes given a fair opportunity to be drafted pro, in my opinion, no, they're not. Now, you have the certain guys that got drafted that might not say the same thing I'm saying. That's their opinion, okay? That's their opinion. A lot of guys out there that got drafted, they may be have radio shows, TV shows, whatever, and they're fine. But overall, we're not being looked at like we should and being accepted out there and rewarded for the work that we put in. And again, all the coaches I had, like Coach Robinson and other coaches that were there, my mom, my dad, brothers, my fellow ball players at Grambling. It was just straight love and a learning lesson from all of those guys. Not too many colleges you go to and you get your hair shaved the first day of camp as a player. I wish I had my hair now, but at the same time, it was a wonderful, wonderful tradition / experience that I had going to HBCU, College University, at Grambling State. When you guys have a moment, some time when you're free, I would love for you guys to go to www.steviehelps.me. There, that's cannabis oil that's out there for you. Individuals who are suffering in pain, it's relief. It works. You also can sign up as an affiliate and actually earn money by doing so. This is new. It's been held back for quite some time, and finally, the government has passed it, let it go to wing individuals away from prescription drugs. And it's very, very helpful. And I just thank God that I've had a platform to help as many people as I can to do so. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, www.steviehelps.me. I'm going to actually get back on the show again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. I will be posting the show a little bit earlier than I did. I'm thinking today is Tuesday, probably around Thursday. Not Thursday, no later than Friday, I'm going to post another show. I thank you guys for listening. I'm just making sure I don't leave out anything about anything I'm talking about, the HBCU. And again, I'd like to thank Shannon Maria Holtz for allowing me to use for you guys to listen to her music. As a platform too. Make sure you check it out, Memory Lane. You can reach her again on Instagram, Facebook. Like I say, she's all over the place. She travels a lot, and she's an upcoming artist. Fantastic young lady and family. And also, too, she went to Grambling. She went to Grambling, and she was actually the first female drum major. You'll probably catch you on the next show. I'll bring you on and guys to listen and check out some of the things that she's done in her life, and becoming the first drum major, female drum major at Grambling State University. Again, I think even though what I went through at Grambling, experiencing the things after that, that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate why I went to school, or I have regret that I went to another university or college. I'm glad that I went to Grambling. If I didn't go to Grambling, I would learn the things I've learned in my life, things I faced in my life, how to actually face them and be challenged with those obstacles. Again, thank you for your listeners. Hope this show has been brought awareness. And again, for your families, tell your kids when they're at the HBCU, all they have to do not get comfortable. Do not get comfortable. They have to work and they have to push hard to make things happen. And when they do so, when they come out into the professional world, they will see the difference, and other people will see the difference of some of the things of how hard they've worked. Give me one second. I think I have a listener coming in before I shut down. One second. Hello, welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Hello? Hello? Okay, I don't have anyone. I thought I had someone on the radio show. I guess it'd be not. I guess they hung up. It's calling in pretty late, but I don't hear anyone right now. Guess they hung up. Thanks again for enjoying the radio show, guys. I'm going to leave you guys with some of Memory Lane by Shannon Holtz. Again, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll get back on the show again on next Tuesday. Be this October 7th. October 7th, I believe, is next Tuesday. October 2nd. I need to get some glasses. Hopefully next show I will have some glasses. You guys, again, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and good night.